Certainly good to be with you once again this morning, and I want to begin by saying thank you to the elders here, and especially to Joel as he communicated with me for inviting me to come and to fill in for Brother Robert. It's always an honor to be able to be a guest speaker somewhere, and certainly having been with you guys before, it's a great blessing to be able to be back with you, knowing some of you pretty well, and getting to see you again. So I'm certainly glad to be here and very much appreciate it. And I want you all to know that. Anytime that I get a chance, especially to present multiple lessons somewhere in that time, I want to speak to our young people. Young people have a special place in my heart because when I first began preaching, that was really the purpose for which they let me do it. And I say let me do it because I don't know that any of us knew where it was going or how good I was going to do or how long it would last. But when Mount Zion first offered me a chance to preach, the elders there tasked me with really paying attention to our young people. They knew that I had been heavily involved in athletics, and I had been heavily involved in Athens Bible School with a number of things that I had the privilege of being a part of there, and then had gotten into coaching some of the young people back at the school. And so I think they saw in me maybe a chance to relate to the young people. I don't always do that the best, and I'm probably not the best you'll ever hear. But I do feel it's part of my job, so long as I still feel a little bit young, to try to reach our young people. But the lesson this morning is not only for our young people, it's for all of us. Youth is relative, I've heard it said. And so no matter what our age is, we've got some semblance of youth still in us. And so I challenge each of us this morning to hopefully gain the most from this, but especially our young people. If you'll give me about 20 minutes here, give me your ears and give me your minds and your hearts, and let's think about what God says to our young people. To begin, I want to look at Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verses 9 through 10. Ecclesiastes 11, verses 9 through 10. It says, "Rejoice, O young man, in your youth, and let your heart cheer you in the days of your youth. Walk in the ways of your heart and in the sight of your eyes, but know that for all these God will bring you into judgment. Therefore, remove sorrow from your heart and put away evil from your flesh, for childhood and youth are vanity." There's a message to our young people here in these verses. One, to rejoice. It's a great thing to be young. It's a great thing to have the energy that you have now, to have the life in you that you have now, to have the abilities that you have now, to have the mind that you have now, to be learning and experiencing things the way that you are now. It's great. But there's a warning in those verses too. There's a warning to you as young people to realize that God is in the middle of all of this too. Sometimes we run and hide. We run and hide from mom and dad. We run and hide from the teacher or the coach. We run and hide and we try to conceal certain things. But the message that's very clear in verses 9 and 10 of Ecclesiastes 11, young people, is you can't run and hide from God. And so even in your youth, it's a time to, as the title of our lesson suggests, to remember your Creator. We maybe act a little different when dad's in the room. We may act a little different when coach is in the room. We may act a little different when the teacher's in the room or when the preacher is in the room. But think about it. God's always in the room. And so I challenge our young people to remember your Creator. That's exactly how chapter 12 starts. Ecclesiastes 12 there, verse 1. "Remember now your Creator in the days of your youth, before the difficult days come and the years draw near when you say, 'I have no pleasure in them.'" He goes on and he talks about ultimately growing old and how things are going to change. But you've got a great opportunity now in your youth to remember your Creator. You have talents and abilities and a mind that is different now in your youth than it will be as you get older. And in that, there's an opportunity for you, if you remember your Creator, to achieve certain things and to grow in certain ways and ultimately to make your later years even better than they will be if that's not the case in your youth. I want to notice several verses and points this morning. There's going to be just a few main points that hopefully will hammer it home. But I want to look at a couple of other verses as we introduce this thought of remembering your Creator. First is Ecclesiastes 9 and verse 10. I think our young people are pretty good at this verse for the most part. Most of the young people I've been around, they go at it 110%. If there's something they want to be involved in, if there's something they're wanting to do, if they're willing to show up and do it, it's 110%. And that's a lesson perhaps to us who are older, to keep that energy, to keep that youthful spirit, and to remember our Creator in that. In Ecclesiastes 9, verse 10, we read, "Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with your might, for there is no work or device or knowledge or wisdom in the grave where you are going." It may be this morning that as a young person, you're kind of content to coast through where you're at in your youth. Don't be content with that. To me, that's one of the things this verse screams out to us, is don't be content to coast through life, but really grab life by the horns, so to speak, and do everything that you can do, and especially in the efforts that are right and good for God and for your spiritual life, grab it by the horns and do it with all of your might. There's going to come a day that you won't be able to do everything that maybe your mind wants to do. And there's going to come a day in which all of it passes away. And maybe that's a lesson for all of us young and old today. Where are we going and what are we doing and what are we spending our time in? What are we laying up treasures in? What are we actually accomplishing at the end of every day with what youth we have? Whether we're 80 years old or 60 years old or 40 years old, or 16 years old, with the youth we have, what are we accomplishing every day? Because there's a time in which it'll all be gone, and it'll all be over. Along with that, Galatians 6 and verse 7. One of the great challenges with our young people is the mindset that the world throws out there to just sow your wild oats and to have fun and live it up and do everything that feels good. Galatians 6, 7 says, "Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, that he will also reap." I said a moment ago, when dad's in the room, maybe we behave a little differently. When mom and dad are away, maybe we're tempted to do things we wouldn't normally do and to act a little different than we might normally act and to kind of reach out there and get on the borders of what we ought to do. And in that sense, we are disobeying our parents, and it's a mockery in that sense of our parents. But catch what this verse says. God is not mocked. He's always in the room. It doesn't matter where mom and dad are. It doesn't matter where the teacher is. It doesn't matter where the coach is. It doesn't matter who you think's around or who you think's watching. God is always in the room. Young people, that's a reason to remember your Creator in everything that you do. And everywhere that you go, everything that you say, everything that you think, remember your Creator. Well, I want to make a few points to kind of drive this home. What are some ways that as a young person you can actively remember your Creator? Number one, by telling the truth. Telling the truth is not always easy. You know, in some ways it would make sense for that to be easy, right? Because the truth kind of is what it is, right? I mean, it's if you know the truth or if you know what's actually happened, instead of lying, it's much simpler, really, to tell the truth. And yet, we are in a state of conflict about truth all the time, aren't we? Because there's certain things that we don't want certain people to know, or we have a hard time maybe saying something because we don't want to be the tattletale or something like that. So there's all these situations that come up to where telling the truth is not easy. Who always knows the truth? God does. And so in any moment in which we're conflicted on whether or not to tell the truth or whether or not to tell the whole story or just tell what we have to, we need to remember our Creator because He already knows the whole truth. And ultimately, we've been given in His Word the description of the day of judgment in which we'll stand before Him and the books will be opened as Revelation describes and we will be judged according to our deeds. Every one of us. And all those moments in which we choose to tell the truth or not tell the truth are a part of those works and deeds that we do here on the earth. Proverbs 13:5 is one of many examples in Psalms, Proverbs, and Ecclesiastes that tells us a righteous man hates lying. I want you to think about that. That's a description of character there. if we're okay with lying in life in general, then what does that mean? We're not. We're not righteous. And so if we're truly striving to be characterized as righteous people, good people, godly people, then lying is one of those things we want to push as far away as we can. And yet, I know and you know that we all struggle with that. And perhaps some more than others. And unfortunately, I think this is something that even many Christians really struggle with, is actually being entirely honest. It begins in our youth. Parents, I would encourage you to encourage your children to be comfortable with the truth. It may be that in some ways our ways of correcting and disciplining and trying to discourage them from certain things drive our youth to some degree to almost want to tell a lie so that they're not caught or guilty or whatever. We've got to discipline and we've got to correct, but there's got to be a balance of love and a balance of understanding so that the truth doesn't suffer for it. We need to appreciate the truth, value the truth, honor the truth, and remember that God knows the truth in every situation. Along with that, in Revelation 21 and verse 8, there's a list there of those that are going to be in the lake of fire. That's the second death. And at the tail end of that, and all liars shall have their part in that life. Sometimes a lie seems like a small thing. But there's one thing that verse tells me. Lying is not a small thing with God. It's a matter of eternal life and death. Secondly, young people, remember your Creator by saying no to sin. Back when I was in school, and this, I guess this means I am getting a little older. I don't know that it's still around, but they used to have the Say No to Drugs campaign going on quite a bit in school. And the police officers or firefighters or different representatives of the community would come around and speak to the young people, and the whole slogan would, just say no to drugs. Just say no to drugs. And it was hammered into our heads over and over and over. And part of the reason for it being hammered into your head over and over and over is to get you to just have a natural response that when something like that's presented to you, say no. Say no. Because, you know, whatever the temptation is, whether it's drugs or anything else, whatever the temptation is, one of the hardest things to do, but also one of the most immediate answers, is just saying no. Because if somebody is trying to get you to be a part of that, when you say no, they might keep on begging, but it automatically puts up one more hurdle for them, doesn't it? And the next time you say no, it's another hurdle. And the next time you say no, it's another hurdle. And you start building a fortress. And all of a sudden, maybe they say, you know what, I'm not even going to ask them because they've said no. Do we realize that all of the devil's temptations upon us work in the same fashion? We've got to have the ability to say no. And having the ability to say no is having the awareness of our Creator, that God has a standard, that God has a righteous way, and that there is also available to us the choice of evil, the choice of wrong. And in those moments when we're presented with the choice of wrong, we've got to first say no. And then secondly, look to do what the good and the right thing is. Just say no. Some of us have a harder time with that than others. There's times in which I wish I had said no, even to maybe some good things. You know, where people are asking you to do something, and you can get overwhelmed and have more than you can do because you just don't say, you never say no. You keep saying yes. Yeah, I'll help you with this. Yeah, I'll help you with this. Yeah. And then all of a sudden you're helping the whole neighborhood and you can't physically do it. Temptations of sin will do that. The devil will bombard us until he finally finds something we say yes to. And so we've got to always be ready to say no. In 1 John chapter 3, verses 4 through 9, there's a key phrase in there, in him there is no sin. I want to read all of it though. 1 John 3, verses 4 through 9, he says, whoever commits sin also commits lawlessness, and sin is lawlessness. And you know that He was manifested to take away our sins, and in Him there is no sin. Whoever abides in Him does not sin. Whoever sins has neither seen Him nor known Him. Little children, let no one deceive you. He who practices righteousness is righteous, just as He is righteous. He who sins is of the devil. The devil has sinned from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that He might destroy the works of the devil. Whoever has been born of God does not sin, for his seed remains in him, and he cannot sin because he has been born of God. So young people, if you really want to please God, if you really want to be what God desires you to be, if you want to be on the side of Christ instead of the side of the devil, this lays it out pretty clear. Whoever sins is of the devil. Whoever practices righteousness is of God. We've got to have the courage to say no to sin. Galatians 5, beginning in verse 16, there is a description of the works of the flesh. And in that, there's a lesson for us on what to say no to. Galatians 5, beginning in verse 16, says, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like. Of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Young people, I want you to really think hard about that list there for a minute. And I want you to think about the music you listen to. I want you to think about the TV shows that you watch. And I want you to think about the movies that you go to. I want you to think about the trends and the popular things that the society we live in puts in front of you as young people. And I want you to look at that list. And it may be wise for you to spend some time, more time than we can spend this morning, to go through that list and pull out a dictionary and to really look hard at the definition of all of those things. Because you know what I see in our music and our entertainment and in the things that are promoted to our young people? I see every one of these things hidden in every one of them. It's scary. And you know, we may, as a young person, we may sit and we may watch some TV show and we may see someone do something or say something and we may kind of laugh at it as though it's humorous or that it's funny. And in our mind, we may think, well, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to do that. But the more we see it, the more we're softened. The more we hear it, the more it's in our mind, whether we realize it or not, it's in the back of our mind. And then before we know it, we have created an environment in our mind and in our heart and in our life to where we're okay with those things, even if we're not actively practicing them. And then if we're okay with those things, when the devil presents us with the opportunity to do one of those things, guess what happens? His odds just went way up. Because we've gotten so soft that we begin to almost think it's okay. I dare say that many of our young people today, when they look at those words and those verses, it doesn't really give them the goosebumps and the sick feeling in the stomach that it may give some of us who are more mature and have thought a lot about it and understand what those words mean. You know why it doesn't? Because they see adultery on TV every day. Adultery, a work of the flesh. They see allusions to fornication and sexual immorality every day. It's hard to think about. It's embarrassing to think about in a way, shameful to think about in a way for us who are more mature. We need to remind our young people how awful these things are and for them to remember their Creator in everything they do and everything they expose themselves to. Because, notice what he says, those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Parents, do we want our children to go to heaven? That's the root question of all of it. What are we willing to do? What are we willing to give up? To what extent will we go to get our children to heaven? Young people, do you want to go to heaven? You need to be prepared to say no and to put up every wall and every obstacle that you can to the devil and his temptations to get you to practice something that fits in with this list. Notice, he ended the list by saying, and the like. That list could go on and on. On and on. Remember your Creator by saying no to sin. It seems simple, but I promise you, when you really stop and think about it, it's an enormous challenge. Not only for our young people, but for every one of us as we walk in this life. We could list several things. I'll back up. I didn't pull that up here. But you could think of just all the things that fit these terms here. It doesn't actually say drugs. It doesn't actually say drinking. It doesn't actually say sex. Or it doesn't actually say immodesty. It doesn't actually say some of these things. But it all fits the description of these terms. And so maybe as parents and as those who have influence over our young people, maybe we need to sit down more often. It's uncomfortable. It's not easy. We don't like to talk about these things. But sit down and define what God says is against the standard. And show them what is out there in this world today that they've got to say no to. Young people, you need to remember your Creator by obeying your parents. I know this one isn't popular, maybe. Sometimes this one is as hard as anything. Not so much obeying. I think probably our parents, in one way or another, find a way to force us to obey. But young people, you need to choose to obey your parents. There's a whole lot of reasons to choose to obey your parents. Number one, God commands it. When we come to an understanding of what God says to us as individuals, it's one of the commands. Ephesians 6, 1 through 3, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. It's a command. It's what we're supposed to do. But I want you to understand, young people, that there's a lot of reasons to obey your parents beyond seeing the command. God gives that command for a reason. Who knows you better than your parents? Is there anybody that really knows you better than your parents? You may think your best friend knows you better, but I guarantee you they really don't. Your parents have seen you from the time that you didn't know they were really even watching you. And they've seen you grow and seen you mature and probably see themselves in you. And they apply all those factors and experiences to what they think you're going to do and the decisions they think you're going to make and the attitudes that they're cultivating and trying to encourage in you and the attitudes and the actions they're trying to discourage in you. They know everything. They could write a book on you. And so in view of that, young people, who better to give you advice? And who better to listen to your concerns and your struggles and your challenges than your parents? Unfortunately, and I'm as guilty as anybody else, when I was at home, there were many times that I put up a wall between me and my parents. And now, looking back on it, I wish I hadn't. Because it made things so much more difficult than they had to be. If I had just listened to them, if I had opened that door, if I'd let them in, listen to your parents. Don't just hear them, you know, in one ear and out the other. Don't just hear them like a noise. Don't just acknowledge them because you have to, or else you're going to get spanked or grounded or you can't go to this place or that place. Don't just acknowledge them. Listen to them. It's valuable. And in doing it, you're ultimately remembering your Creator, because that's the design that He has for us, for children to obey their parents in the Lord. In Romans chapter 1, there is a graphic description of sin and of things that pull us away from God. And at the tail end of that chapter, beginning in verse 28, he says, "And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind to do those things which are not fitting, being filled with all unrighteousness." Here comes this one of these lists again of all these things. "Being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, I want you to think about this for a second as we read this list. Many of the TV shows that we watch today, the main plot line is these things right here. Envy. Somebody's jealous of somebody else, and that's what the whole motive of the story is. Murder. It's right at the root of many of the TV shows that we watch. Many of them I would consider decent shows. It's just about reality. But let's not let them, you know, make us be soft and fail to see the seriousness of murder. Deceit. How many shows are based on deceit? Somebody deceiving somebody else and all the surrounding circumstances. Verse 30, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things. Young people, I want you to catch the next one. Disobedient to parents. Undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful, who knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death, not only do the same, but also approve of those who practice them. There's two levels there I want you to notice. You need to obey your parents because it is specifically commanded, and disobedience to parents is specifically condemned under the judgment of God. But in that whole list of things, there's many things that come into play there. And it's not only if we practice those things. Notice what he says at the end of verse 32. It's also those who approve of those things. Because again, we're softening and letting the devil get closer and closer and closer. You ever been around a real mean guard dog? Maybe on a chain? If he's on a chain, how far away from him do you stay? Well, you stay at least as far away as the length of the chain, right? And usually if that's the case, the dog has wore out the ground, and so you can clearly see exactly how close you can get. And I've seen kids before go up to a dog like that on a chain, and they'll get right there to where that worn path is, and they'll play and antagonize and tease that dog, and he can't get there because the chain holds him back. You know what we have done in our world today? You can look at it two ways. We've either said, you know what? I'm going to step right into that path and take my chances on getting bit. Or you could look at it as though we've lengthened the chain for the devil. We've let him into our homes. We've let him into our TV sets. We've let him into our computers. We've let him into our magazines. We've let him in to our social networks. We've let him into our family. We've let him into our friendships. We've let him into the workplace. We've let him into the United States of America, haven't we? Do we really think we're not going to get bit? Children, young people, remember your Creator by obeying your parents. Because I promise you, your parents are doing everything that they can to keep you outside the reach of the devil. Keep you from getting bit. Keep you from getting hurt. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, in verse 12, Paul writes to Timothy as a young preacher. It's a message to our youth. And although Timothy would have been younger than many of our children here today, the message is the same for young and old. He told Timothy, let no one despise your youth, but be an example to the believers in word and conduct and love and spirit and faith and purity. Till I come, give attention to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Do not neglect the gift that is in you, which was given to you by prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the eldership. Meditate on these things. Give yourself entirely to them, that your progress may be evident to all. Take heed to yourself and to the doctrine. Continue in them. For in doing this, you will save both yourself and those who hear you. Let no one despise your youth. Be an example. Young people, whether you realize it or not, there are people watching you on every corner of your life. You encourage your parents. You encourage your grandparents. You encourage your friends. You encourage those that are younger than you. Whether it be that you're encouraging them in good things or you're discouraging them in negative ways, you have an influence as a young person. I'm here to tell you this morning, don't ignore that. Don't fail to see that and know it. Remember what the Proverb writer said, Proverbs 22, verse 1, a good name is to be chosen rather than great riches, loving favor rather than silver and gold. If I ask you young people this morning, when you get out of high school, when you graduate, and you get ready to move on in life, you will have implanted in the minds of your classmates and the ones that were around you during that time what your character is. You ever thought about that? We just had our 10-year class reunion last year. And a lot of great people I was fortunate to go to school with. And in going back and sitting and talking with them for a while, it was amazing how some of them had changed so much. With children now and married now and maybe active in the church or preaching now or something. And some of them probably looked at me and thought, he's preaching? You know? What a change. We all make mistakes and do things in our youth that maybe we regret. But I'm here to tell you, young people, if you understand what I'm saying this morning, you're young enough to have an opportunity to perhaps change your forever influence on people. Because I would figure that because of some of the mistakes that I made back in high school, that there are some people who, if they sat in this auditorium this morning, could not listen to me preach without thinking of something that I did I shouldn't have done. And my influence on them would be less valuable because of that negative thing. Think about your influence. Think about your example. And remember your Creator. And be a good example. Finally, remember your Creator by giving yourself to Him. There are so many things that battle for our life, and battle for our time and our energy, for our attention. It's all battling for it. Our friends, our social groups, our athletics, our hobbies, all the things that we're involved in, it's all battling for our attention and our time. I challenge you, young people, young and old, every one of us this morning, to ask ourselves, are we really giving ourselves to God? We belong to Him ultimately anyway. Of dust we are, and to dust we shall return. The Spirit that God has given us will return to God who gave it, and we will be judged according to our works, and that Spirit will either spend eternal life with God, or it will spend an eternal punishment in that second death. In Galatians 5, we read from there a while ago, the list was there of the works of the flesh, but at the end of that, in verse 22, he says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ's have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Young people, you need to learn to get in the Spirit sooner rather than later. Give yourself to God. Give yourself to Christ. Crucify the passions and desires. Take those things out of your life that tempt you. Harden up, toughen up against the devil. Say no to those sins. Recognize your example. In Ecclesiastes 12, at the end of all of that, after he had talked to us about remembering our Creator, what did he say the conclusion was? Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is man's all. As a young person, you may think that your all right now is volleyball or softball, or basketball, or dating, or Facebook. That's not what your all is. God is our all. For God will bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing, whether good or evil. Have you given yourself to God? That's a question for every one of us. We're about to sing an invitation song to encourage you. Let that be a reminder that everyone in this audience this morning hopefully is here because we all want to get to heaven. We all want to get there together. We want to be there young and old in a place that knows no age, in a place that knows no time, a place that knows no evil, sin, heartaches, tears, none of that. That's where we want to be. And so we need to make every effort to remember our Creator now, in the days of our youth, in the day, all the days of our lives. And if you haven't remembered Him, you recognize that today, this is the time and this is the place to take the steps to make those changes. He's commanded us, if we have fallen away as erring sheep, to come home, to repent of those things, to confess those things to one another, to pray with one another. There's no shame in that. The shame is in lying to yourself and everyone else about who you really are. Remember your Creator. He knows it all already. And so we all ought to be okay with it too. And let's pray with one another and for one another if repentance is needed among any of us. If you're not yet a Christian, then you really need to think about your Creator. You will stand before Him in a day of judgment. And so why not stand before Him today and confess that He is your Lord, your Savior, to be baptized with Christ, to wash away your sins, and then give your life to Him. If we can help you this morning, won't you have the courage to come while we stand and sing?